Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm going to ask everybody, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 27, and we're going to read together verses 11 through 14. But first, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we're asking by faith now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Show Me Your Ways, Jesus. Show me your ways, Jesus. And so as you can see this screen right here, it says, Show me your ways, Jesus. Let's go ahead and open up that screen right there. Yes, there you go. Thank you, God. And so, are you there? There it is. Show me your ways, Jesus. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 27, and we're going to expound verses 11 through 14. Okay, so are we there? Here we go. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Say that with me. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so we're going to look at several principles this morning, and we're going to ask God to just illuminate our minds, our hearts, and that we can see how relevant God's word is for today. And so, right up here on the screen, it says, knowing biblical principles is essential for living the Christian life as God desires. And so, saints, perhaps the most important one to learn is to obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Right now, we're in this pandemic. And so God is teaching us things right now as we are locked in. And I know that maybe 29 states across the union are going to be let back to go out into society. But I believe the East Coast and the West Coast are still confined until further notice. So God is teaching us some things. And alongside is another one that's very important, saints, is to learn to wait on the Lord. Learn to wait on God for his timing. Obeying the Lord doesn't just include doing what he desires, saints of God, but doing it when he says, and he knows what he says and when to do it. So let's look at this next clip right up here. To keep in step with God's perfect will, we must guard against jumping ahead of him. And this is why right now, it's probably just too soon to step out and go business as usual, you know, going back to normalcy. From what I understand, a dear friend that grew up with my younger brothers, they graduated in 1984. He was a star football player on Sweetwater High School in 84. He acquired the COVID-19 and he passed on. And so this is a real vicious, unseen enemy. And we need to always be on guard. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, although waiting on the Lord is not always easy, it's not. We want to get out and do what we want to do, you know, business as usual. But we can never go wrong by patiently letting Jesus lead us according to his timing. Because, saints of God, when we step ahead of him, trouble awaits us. But if we trust his guidance, he will lead us into his will and accomplish more than we had in mind. That's right. more than we had in mind. When we are in a hurry to make a decision and move forward rather than seeking God's timing, we need to heed the words of King David. Let's look at this scripture right here. Let's go to Psalms 27:14. Look what it says. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. You see, saints of God, let's look at this. Let's keep that screen right there. God's timing isn't just good. It's perfect. It's perfect. I'd rather walk with Jesus. Why? Because he's perfect in all his ways. I'd rather cling on to him. I'd rather be led by him. I'd rather walk with him. I'd rather listen to him. Forget about all the fake news and all these things that are going on. I want to look into Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, saints, the Bible tells us that Jesus, or God, is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows past, present, and future. God knows everything. Turn with me to 1 John. Let's look at this. In 1 John 2 and 3, the Bible says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." You see, when we step in front of God and we find ourselves walking in error, our heart will condemn us. But God knows all things. God will not condemn us. God is our friend. God is our Savior. God, he's for us, not against us. And so he knows not only, Jesus knows not only the minutest details of our lives, but those of everything around us. He knows everything. For his mentions, even knowing a sparrow which falls, he knows every hair that falls from someone's head. Oh, yes, look at mine. He knows every one of them that has already fallen off. Oh, yes. Where does it say that? Right here in the Word of God. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Look what it says. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." That's right. All numbered. He knows everything about us. He knows the situation. He knows about this COVID-19 that has happened. We live in a fallen world. And so nothing took him by surprise. Nothing blindsided God. But I truly believe this is a great opportunity that we can come together in the unity of the faith to draw closer to the Lord, to be strengthened by God, to listen to more sermons than you've ever listened to. That's right. It's not just Wednesday and Sunday anymore. Now you're confined to your homes. Now you can feed your spirit and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? And not only does God know everything that will occur until the end of history itself, but he also knows our very thoughts, even before we even speak them forth. Look at this. Look at this. Turn with me to Psalms 139 right here. Look at it. It says, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." See, God knows all things. He remembers. Listen, you don't have to remind God. God remembers all things. Oh, yes, he does. Look what the prophet Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 46. Look at this. It says, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Verse 10, "Declaring the end from what? The beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That's right. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. God knows all things. He knows the situation you have at hand. He knows your needs right now. He knows right now those things that you lack in life. And the Bible says that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So saints of God, God knows our hearts from afar, even from a distant. He even saw us in our mother's womb. Look at what King David wrote in Psalms. Turn with me to Psalms 139. Look at this right here. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." You see that? You could be around the entire globe, wherever you're at, and he knows your thought. Just imagine, there's, I believe, almost 7 billion people, and he knows everyone's thought at once. Look at this. And then it goes on to say, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. My goodness, my goodness. See, God knows every aspect of our life, saints of God. This is not the time that's taking place in our society. This is not the time to be fearful. This is a time to be faithful unto him. Why? Because he's got you covered. Yes, he will shield you. He will guard you. He will encamp angels about you. Can I get an amen in the house? Look what else King David wrote in Psalms 139. Let's go back there to Psalms 139, verse 15. It says, my frame, look at this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance. Look how intricate God is with us. Being yet unformed, he knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Look at that. And in your book, they all were written. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Look at this. The days fashioned me when as yet there were none of them. Saints of God, the Lord sees every aspect of our lives, including our needs and desires. I know we all desire to go back to work. When's the last time you were in a restaurant? Probably a month and a half ago. You know, those are things, going to a park, going to a ball game. But God has put all those things on pause so that we can draw closer to him, knowing that the days that we live in. You know, the Bible says that we are living in the days that Jesus prophesied. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 that in the last days prior to his second coming, that we would see these things. He said we would see wars and rumors of wars. We would see earthquakes in various places. We would see pestilence and nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Right now, the world appears to be in a chaotic state, but do not be fearful, my friends. Be faithful unto God. These are the things that Jesus said we would see, and I'm so blessed that he's coming soon. I know he's coming soon. Why? He understands what's best for us. I hope you know that. His divine schedule for our lives is always perfect and achieves his good purposes in our life. I hope you know that. And so, saints of God, in contrast, we are often in a hurry to get what we want. That's right. You know, I've shared this many times. I'd rather do the old-fashioned way of making popcorn. Get the pot, get the butter, you know, or the oil, whatever, and put your kernels in. And just wait till they stop popping. And then it's fresh, and it'll stay fresh for a long time. But we want to just throw a bag in the microwave in about 1 minute. And then when it comes out, soon as it cools off, you're chewing on a tire. Okay? Listen, there are things that we need to just take time in. Can I get an amen? We're always in a hurry. And since we have limited knowledge and understanding, we should pray about the situation that we ever find ourselves in and wait on God to unfold the path that he has for us. He has the better plan for us. I believe that maybe some of you that have lost your jobs, he probably has a new door for you waiting that you would walk in and serve him gladly. But see, in our haste to move ahead, we often make big decisions without asking the Lord to show us his perfect timing in the matter. We need to trust in the Lord. And so, yet, saints, God has provided everything we need to obey his will. I hope you know that. Everything. There's no excuse. When he saves us, he gave his indwelling spirit, his power to be with us forevermore. And one of the tasks of the Holy Spirit, my friends, is to guide us according to God's will and his word. If you're doing something outside of the word of God, outside of the will of God, you will crash and burn. We need to walk with him and we need to allow him to lead us and guide us. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, saints of God, he cautions us regarding wrong directions and quickens us to do what's right. Why? Because we are not all that sufficient in ourselves to make sometimes hard decisions. This is why we need God. Let's look to the screen right here. What are the requirements, saints of God? We're gonna go through some teaching now. This is a teaching moment for us. Can I get an amen? What are the requirements for waiting upon God? And so we're going to go through several principles, and I'm hoping that God's speaking to you, because I know that he spoke to me as I prepared this message. God didn't want me to rush it through. He said, wait on me. Wait for the scripture to come. Wait for all these things that you could bring and edify the body of Christ. And so one of the things that we see it's a very important principle as we wait upon the Lord is, number one, is trust. Trust. We need to learn what? To trust God. You see, saints of God, if we understand who God is, we can trust him because he knows so much more than we do. And his timing is always right. God's timing is always right. He's not depriving us of anything, but is doing what is best for you and I, according to his wisdom and his knowledge. He invites us to ask, to seek, and to knock in prayer. And he promises to answer according to his divine timing and purpose. Turn with me to Matthew. Look what it says right here in Matthew. In Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. See, saints of God, God is saying to seek him. Listen, we can always go to man and ask for favors, you know, go to a bank and ask for a loan and do all the, you know, waiting for the stimulus and all that, you know, the checks to come. But God, when's the last time you went to God? When's the last time you sought him and said, God, I need you. I need you right now. So saints of God, therefore, we must not think that if the answer doesn't come immediately, then God will never provide what we've requested. Instead, saints of God, we should remember God's power, his wisdom, his love and knowledge, and trust that he controls every, say that with me, every circumstance and will that will provide what is good for us according to his will. That's right. Turn with me to Romans 12. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right here. He wrote this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Did you catch that? Yeah. Things that tempt us, things that come into our mind, things that sometimes we are drawn to that are not according to the will of God. God said in his word, abhor what is evil. Man, if you're watching pornography, if you're watching things like that, you know, and are caught up in the culture, God said it's abhorrent. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Look at verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We must always have that mind to serve the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. My friends, this is the time to seek the Lord. This is the time to get before God. This is the time to truly search your heart. Search your heart and say, God, if there's anything that's not like you, God, I give it to you that it can be removed. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, in his provisions, if God's provisions doesn't come immediately, it's because we really don't need it. Can I get an amen in the house? There's some things we want, but it may not be what God wants for us. And it may not even be good for us, or it's not the right time to have it. So this is why we need, let's look to the screen right here. We have to have, number one, patience. Patience. Be patient with God. God knows your cry. God knows your heart. God knows your need. You need to understand these things. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me to Psalms 37. Look at this. In Psalms 37, King David understood how to be patient, how to wait upon the Lord. He says, rest in the Lord and wait what? Patiently for him. Say that with me. Wait patiently for him. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Look what it says in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. I mean, in other words, stay away from people that want to cause commotion, that always looking for contention. It says, do not fret. It only causes harm. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be what? Cut off. But those, say that with me, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall what? Inherit the earth. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, waiting could cause us to be anxious and impatient because it seems like God isn't doing anything. That's right. We want a Burger King life, having it my way. We want it right now. We want everything right now, but God is saying, be patient. And so saints of God, however, we must remember that he loves us and gives us good guidance. He provides for us. He gives us the best provision. He helps us and he strengthens us during the wait time. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So saints, when David was anointed king of Israel as a teenager, as a young man, he had no idea that he would have to wait over 12 years before the promise became a reality, before he became the king. What may have seemed like a waste of time was actually God's perfect plan for his life. And it was being worked out through patience, through walking with God. God wasn't acting against King David in any kind of delay, but for him. Number two, let's look at our next principle right here. God is saying, have courage. Say that with me. Have courage in the day that we live in. There are people already in this city alone. Over 900, I believe, had already died in San Diego County with this COVID. But we need to have courage. We need to be strengthened. We can't walk in fear. Can I get an amen? Look what King David wrote in Psalms here. He said, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful. God is calling us to be faithful. Can I get an amen? And look at what he says. And he fully repays the what? The proud person. Don't worry about those evildoers. Don't worry about people that are walking in pride. God will deal with them. You don't have to say one word. You don't have to lift your tongue against them. God will take care of that. But he says, look, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen what? Your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. How many of you at home right now in your living rooms are hoping in the Lord? Amen. Raise up your hand and say, I'm hoping for the Lord. Praise God. So saints, we can't fathom all the difficulties and problems that could come if we move forward in disobedience instead of waiting patiently and courageously for God to make the way clear before us. Let's go to our third principle right here. Determination. You need to be determined that God is for you, not against you. That God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Quit looking for that stimulus check and look for God. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. And listen, if you walk faithfully upright before him, man, you can walk into your kitchen and see your cupboards are still full. Can I get an amen? Just love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a mighty God. And because the influence of others has a powerful effect on us, it takes fortitude to wait on the Lord, saints of God. Now, while the situation may look right on the outside, if the Holy Spirit is cautioning us, we must make up our minds to obey him rather to give in to others' opinions and advice. I'd rather get my advice from God. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right here. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Bible says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? So, saints of God, we're all in this together. As the church of God, as the church of Christ, we're all in this together. We're in this race. But one receives the prize. Look at this. Run in such a way that you should obtain it. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Look at this. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. He's talking about these athletes, talking about the Olympics. But we for an imperishable crown. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26 here. It says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, saints of God, God is just asking us to walk in his ways, to trust in the Lord. He knows what's taking place right now in this nation, as I mentioned. But God is for us. He's not against us. And so I always like to look back, to look ahead. I always like to look into the Old Testament saints and to glean off their wisdom, to glean off their knowledge, to know that God is for us, that God has a word for us. God still speaks through his prophets of the Old Testament. Can I get an amen? Look what it says right here in Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore, wait for me. Say that with me at home. Wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to the assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation. See, God is going to remove the church. The signs that we see right now, God said that when you see these signs, look up, for your redemption draw it nigh. Meaning, Jesus is soon to return. And when he does, he's going to take the church out of this world. And then the Bible says God will have to then pour out his indignation on this world. Why? Because they have rejected the truth. They have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They have rejected the prophets. They have rejected the apostles. They have rejected you as you preaching to them. And all my fierce anger, look at this, all the earth shall be devoured with fire for my jealousy. Why is he jealous? He's jealous because he sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. And many have rejected him. God went out of his way to hang on a hideous cross, to shed his blood, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that you could come to him and say, oh God, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. But there are people that mock him throughout the world and they reject what God has done. And God, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, he already slew the Lamb of God for you and I. But it took thousands of years until the day came where he came. And when he was born, he came into this world without any sin. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you what God did for us. So our next principle, saints of God, is number four, strength. You need to be strong in this time. You need to be encouraged. You need to wait patiently. You need to trust. And now you need to have strength. And when we are tempted to jump ahead of God, we must remember that Almighty God is the source of our strength. And he will provide the power we need to wait patiently for him. Why? Because God knows our needs. God will take care of you. Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right here. He said it best. Look, I can do all things through him who what? Strengthens me. That's right. Yeah, you can lift dumbbells all day long. You can bench press all day long. But he's talking about the spirit man that lives on the inside. That's what needs to be strengthened. Can I get an amen? See, God throughout this message is saying, do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. God loves you. He really does. Look what it says here in Isaiah, in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so we run to the doctors. We run to people. We run to family members. But when's the last time you ran to God? When's the last time you got on your knees and got on your faces? Oh, God, I need you right now, God. Look what Deuteronomy says, 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Look at that. Do not fear. Do not be a dread of them. In other words, the culture of this day, don't be afraid of this. Don't even be afraid of this Corona 19. I call it the coronavirus. Don't be afraid of that. God is with you. God will protect you. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Can I get an amen in the house? He will not leave you nor forsake you. That's God's promise. He will never leave us. Don't forsake us. He will always be with you. The day you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day you became born again, filled with the Holy Ghost of promise, God made you a brand new person. He has transformed your mind. He has given you a heart to worship and to praise him. You are a brand new creature. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, in these past 3 weeks, we've already had 3 people that have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are praying that their new walk with Christ will be awesome in their life. And they will tell others during this pandemic time. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. And guess what? This Saturday, about 11 in the morning, there's another soul coming to be baptized. Why? Because his brother, who got baptized 2 weeks ago, has been preaching to him. And he said, now I need Jesus too. Look what God is doing. Hallelujah. Listen, we're not even in a building where we can seat the congregation anymore. And God is still reaching through this network. Can I get an amen? Man, we serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, give him praise and glory right there where you're sitting at right now. Hallelujah. And so beyond this, he can even change the desires of our heart to align with his will and give us a strong passion to obey him. Can I get an amen, saints of God? Our next principle is this right here. Endurance. God is looking for us to endure. Endure. We don't know when we're going to go back to society, but who cares? Right now, God has us. He has our attention. He's got my attention. I hope he has yours. But God is saying, endure, endure. You see, saints of God, if the Lord calls us to wait, we need endurance to stand firm when other people give their opinions and offer suggestions regarding what we should do. Paul wrote it best. Turn with me to Romans 5. Look at this. Paul wrote it best in the book of Romans. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Yeah, right now people are suffering. I just saw in the news before I came here this morning. I saw bread lines across the nation. People that are backed up 5 miles waiting for food. There's people that are suffering right now. But God is saying, more than that, we rejoice. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces what? Endurance. You see, we got to endure, like God says. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hallelujah. So as you are waiting, trusting, having the endurance, being strengthened by God, guess what? He's building character in your life. Can I get an amen? Some of us didn't grow up with character, but God is doing something special and mighty right now in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Look what James wrote in the New Testament. He wrote it in James 1:12. Look at that. Blessed is the man who retains steadfast under trial. Right now, the whole world's under trial. We're all going through the whole world, not just our nation, not just your city, not just your town, not just you and your neighbor. The whole world is under trial. For what? For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Look at that, which God has promised to those who love him. My question is, do you love the Lord? Do you love God? Do you love him enough to trust him? Or do you go to man for your needs? God is saying, look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I get an amen? That's right. Look what Paul wrote to the Hebrew church right here in Hebrews. Look at this. He wrote this. For you have need of endurance. Say that with me. For you have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, you may what? Look at that. Receive what is promised. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And look what else it says here in James. James chapter 1. Look at this. It says, count it all joy. Say that with me. Man, some of you are going to be counting all joy. Man, there's no baseball. There's no football. There's no NCAA, championship games. Well, so what? Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Maybe you needed a break from that. Maybe God is saying, hey, you know what? Sit down for a moment. Take time out with me. And count it all joy. Look what it says. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. This is a trial right now. The whole world's going through it. Look at that. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. That's what I believe God is doing in my life. He's causing me to be steadfast, to be more diligent, now to even plow further with him. I hope that's what he's doing in your life. Can I get an amen? And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So saints, although the world is full of tempting offers and it's chaotic right now, and people readily share their thoughts regarding how we ought to live, there is only one supreme person to whom we should listen to, and that is the Lord God Almighty. Our responsibility is to obey and leave all the consequences to him. Can I get an amen in the house? Walking within the will of God is the safest, best and wisest and happiest place to live. No, it's not Disneyland. It's to be in the will, the center of his will. Although we will not receive anything we desire when we want, we will never miss out on the good things God has for us that are seeking to do his will. And the timing is impeccable that God will give to the saints that truly are waiting upon him. Therefore, saints of God, we should always seek God's wisdom in prayer. Wait for his guidance and watch how he works. He's an awesome God. He works miracles and wonders and signs and wonders. Yes, that's right. But all these things will follow them that believe. You got to believe. You got to believe God for your life. And so I have a couple of questions I want to just leave with you this morning as we come in for a close. Number one, what requests are you still waiting for God to answer? Write it down. Think about that for a moment. What are they? And just because he hasn't answered just yet doesn't mean he didn't hear you. Didn't mean that he forgotten about you. No, it'll come in his timing. Can I get an amen? Let's look at number two. Which of his attributes assure you that he is working on your behalf? Well, we went through many attributes. God is love, number one. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. So that alone, that scripture alone lets us know that he loves us. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has given you a new life. He has given you a new hope. He has given you all the things that you need to exist on this planet before he comes. And he's calling you to be an ambassador. He's calling you to be a warrior for him. He's calling you to live holy. For the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So we must walk uprightly before him, especially during this time, this pandemic time. Let's go to our next question right here. Number three, do you want the Lord's will above all else? Even if he doesn't give you what you want when you desire? You see, a lot of us, we wait, and then we give up. Then we walk away. And a lot of times we have walked away right when the Lord was ready to pour out his blessing, because we didn't have patience. We couldn't wait. God is saying, wait on the Lord. Can I get an amen? Wait on him. Look at number four. If not, what is keeping you from trusting the Lord God Almighty? What is keeping you? What's keeping you from trusting in him? Is it a relationship with other people? Is it someone on your job or the lack thereof? Is it your children? Is it your situation at hand? Is it the problems that you're facing right now? Is that what's interfering your mindset, your walk with him? Man, set all that side down and just seek him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Let me just ask you this question, saints of God, as I come in for a close. How many of you know that Jesus is about to appear? Jesus is about to come, and he's almost ready to take us on out of here. Look what he wrote to the Thessalonian church. And this is why. Hold on to your seatbelts. We're seeing the signs. We saw in 1948 that God gathered Israel and they became a nation. All these things that God prophesied that we would see in this day, the day that we live in, this is the generation that's converging. Everything's converging that has been prophesied by Jesus, by the prophets. It's all happening right now, right before our eyes. So my question is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to stand before him? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin? Have you given your heart to God? That's the question. Or are you still just waiting for I can't wait to get back into society and forget about all that you've been listening and watching these past month or so? Well, we have a promise. And God's word is yes and amen. Look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians right here. Paul wrote to this church and he let them know that there's going to be a generation that will see this take place. And I believe we are that terminal generation. Look what it says. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep. Meaning, many of us have family members that have given their heart to Christ. And all the saints that have died in the past, God has not forgotten about them. Right now, their body, their physical body, is in a sleep mode. But their soul and spirit, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're in heaven rejoicing right now. Look what it says in verse 15 right here. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will what? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That's right. Many of us are going to be probably standing or asleep, whatever, in our beds. But they are going to go first. Look what it says now in verse 17 here. It says, then we, say that with me, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How many of you can't wait for that moment? I can't. I want to be there with God. I want to see him face to face. I want to see the God who created me. And when I do see him face to face, I'm going to fall on my face and I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving me. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And the last verse is verse 18. Therefore, frighten one another. No, I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. Comfort. Comfort one another with these words. And so maybe, saints of God, and maybe friends and family, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have not been born again. Well, right now, as you're listening and watching this telecast right now, God is speaking to you. God is calling you. God is speaking to your spirit. God is putting something in your mind, in your heart, in your soul now to turn to him. God is waiting for you to do a 180. Hallelujah. Not a 360, but a 180. Can I get an amen? Some of you know already what I'm talking about. But God is saying he loves you. And the last verse of scripture I'm going to put up here on the screen is so profound. You guys remember Peter, he was the one that denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. And yet, when he got saved in the upper room, Jesus says, I go away and I send the promise of my Father. Go into Jerusalem and wait and tarry. So 120 people went into that upper room. And guess who else was there? Because they needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus's mother, Mary. Yes. She's mentioned in scripture that she was there waiting for the promise as well. And so the key to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith is one has to repent. Make that 180 turn. Where are you turning from? You're turning from the culture. You're turning from the world. And now you're turning to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Look what it says here. Listen, don't take my word. Take God's word right here. And Acts chapter 2, let's go there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 39, it says, then Peter said to them, what? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise. Say that with me. For the promise. God makes promises and God keeps his promises. He's not like a man that sometimes will say, yeah, I'll see you at church and they never show up. No, God said, I will keep my promise to you. Look what it says. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, this is not let's make a deal. This is the deal. The deal is if you repent and you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you surrender and then you come and get baptized, man, God gives you a brand new life. He'll give you a new walk, a new talk. Oh my, he'll cleanse you from the inside out. And he will give you eternal life. It'll be a heaven to receive and a hell to shun. Oh, that's right. There's a real place called hell. But those who give their hearts to Christ, guess what he gives them? He gives them fire insurance. Praise God. That's right. We don't have to see that horrible place where people that have rejected the grace of God, who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't even want to go there. I'm just here to let you know that you can have eternal life and be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. And so, my friends, I'm praying right now that if you're there listening, pray with me. Pray with me. I need you to know that this prayer that you will pray with me, it's not mystical, it's not magical, but it's a tool that God gives from heaven to mankind down here that's very sinful. Prayer is a tool that God gives mankind here on earth to communicate with the Holy God. That's what prayer is, that we can communicate with God, that he will hear us. But the key is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart, and God will receive you as one of his. So if you're watching right now and you're listening, bow your hearts and your head with me and pray this beautiful prayer that God wants you to receive right now by faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Those of you that are right now watching this telecast at home, give God a shout of praise and glory, hallelujah, in your living room, in your bedroom, on your patio, wherever you're at, just worship the Lord and praise God, because I believe at least if one soul got saved, it was worth it all. And so I want to leave you a blessing. I want to leave you a blessing right now, and I want to proclaim this blessing. It's called the Aaronic blessing, and allow me to pray this before I step away. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. My friends, I thank and praise God for allowing me to come into your living rooms this morning. I'm looking forward in seeing you once again Wednesday night. And I miss you. I love each and every one of you. And I can't wait till that we can come together in the unity of the faith once again at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And so on behalf of my wife, Yolanda, and myself, we just want to say we love you. And we thank you, and we'll see you again. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the